this computer. And let's open with prayer. Father, thank you for being with us tonight. And bless each one here and open our hearts and minds to your word as we study together in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Daniel chapter 3. Where am I? There we go. I'm going to start this, John, on chapter 3. And King Nebuchadnezzar made a statue of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits broad. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar then sent word to gather the satraps, prefects, governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, officers, and all the provincial officials to attend the dedication of the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, officers, and all the provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up and stood before the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. The herald proclaimed in a loud voice, "You are commanded, O peoples and nations of every language, when you hear the sound of the hornpipe, zither, lyre, psaltery, bagpipe, and all other types of instruments, to fall down and worship the statue of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever will not fall down and worship shall at once be thrown into a burning fiery furnace." And so, as soon as all the people heard the sound of the hornpipe, zither, lyre, psaltery, and all other types of instruments, all peoples and nations of every language fell down and worshiped the statue of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Seizing the occasion, certain Chaldeans came forward to slander the Jews. They spoke up and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, gave an order that everyone who hears the hornpipe, zither, lyre, psaltery, bagpipe, and all types of instruments must fall down and worship the golden statue. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you appointed to administer the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those men pay no heed to you, O king. They do not serve your God or worship the statue of gold that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in raging fury, ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought. So those men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them and said, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship the statue of gold that I have set up? Now, if you're ready to fall down and worship the statue that I have made, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, zither, lyre, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all other types of instruments, well and good. But if you will not worship, you shall at once be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. And what God is there that can save you from my power?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said in reply to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. For if so, it must be, our God whom we serve is able to save us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will save us from your power, O king. But even if he does not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the statue of gold that you have set up." Nebuchadnezzar was so filled with rage at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his vision was distorted, and he gave an order to heat up the furnace to 7 times its usual heat. He commanded some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them into the burning fiery furnace. So these men in their shirts, trousers, hats, and other garments were bound and thrown into the burning fiery furnace because the king's order was urgent. And the furnace was heated to excess. A tongue of flame killed the men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But those three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, dropped bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and rising in haste, addressed his companion, saying, "Did we not throw three men bound into the fire?" They spoke in reply, "Surely, O king." He answered, "But I see four men walking about unbound and unharmed in the fire, and the fourth looks like a divine being." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the hatch of the burning fiery furnace and called, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the royal companions gathered around to look, and the royal companions gathered around to look at those men. Oh, gathered, okay. On whose body the fire had no effect, the hair of whose head had not been singed, whose shirts looked no different, to whom not even the odor of fire clung. Nebuchadnezzar spoke up and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel to save his servants, who, trusting in him, blotted the king's decree at the risk of their lives rather than serve or worship any god but their own God. I hereby give an order that anyone of any people or nation or whatever language who blasphemes the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and his house confiscated, for there is no other God who is able to save in this way." Thereupon the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar to all people and nations of every language that inhabit the whole earth, may your well-being abound. The signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me, I am pleased to relate. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures throughout the generations. Okay, so that's first story. We just had one. I just wanted to, there seems to be a group of stories that we're going to have about Nebuchadnezzar and then about Belshazzar and Darius. And all these are all kings of this leading government. And in each one, I think we're going to see how God demonstrates his sovereignty over, ultimate sovereignty over everyone. The other thing I noticed here is that struck me is first verse in three, where it says he made a statue of gold 60 cubits high and 6 cubits broad. That's part of 666. It's like it's an aspect of the final.
I thought of that too.
Isn't
In
it?
fact, that made me think about the whole incident being a foreshadowing of end times.
I think it is.
Because the false prophet causes everybody to worship the image. And there's this prophet or a herald telling everybody that they have to worship this image that Nebuchadnezzar erected.
Yeah, I think it seems to be that in some way of, even though Nebuchadnezzar, unlike anything we see in the Revelation about the Antichrist, even though he seems to repent here or come to realize the sovereignty of God, it still is a type because he is the head of this great image. That's the first dream that Daniel had. So now the next one in chapter four, which I'm sure we can also read.
Well, was that all the commentary you
No, I mean
were?
I don't know what else to say, but sure, add on, John.
I mean, I love when they gave their response back to Nebuchadnezzar
Oh yeah.
when they said, you know, God is able to deliver us and he will deliver us. But if he doesn't, then, you know, let it be known that we will not serve other.
Yeah.
I love that response. And it's like, even if he doesn't, we will remain faithful.
Yeah, no, they've resolved this is what we're going to do. We believe God's going to save us, but
You know, yeah,
that's not the issue. We're not going to do it.
that's how I felt during the whole COVID thing.
I know. You
That
have
it's
to
like,
somewhere feel that way.
this is what I'm gonna do, and I believe God will see me through it. And if he doesn't, this is what I'm doing. But Yeah, I love that response.
I think you have to, because if what's the alternative? The alternative is to say, well, I'm not going to do it unless something. Well, if there's unless something, you're not going to do it because there's always something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the only thing way you can look at it.
Yeah. And it's amazing that there's that what's that called, the theophany, when there's
Oh, when you see
yeah.
the fourth being in the fire with them, yeah, that's a beautiful passage too.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. I don't know what else to say.
What?
So you ended, did you read through up to chapter four?
I've read through four myself before we started here.
Oh, I mean, because when you were reading before, that was my chapter three ends when it says, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
Oh, I see. So
And
it's
that's
some
chapter
it's
four.
the numbers are different in the Hebrew text than the English text.
Yeah.
I see.
But it's okay.
So, yeah, because four is a continuation of what Nebuchadnezzar is. It's Nebuchadnezzar speaking in the first person, but I think the reason they separated out that what is verse 31 and 32 and 33 in my text, because it's like a letter that Nebuchadnezzar sent out to all his subjects. And then for what is now and going to be 4:1, it's another narrative that is really not related to this experience that he's just had with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar has seen this miracle, and he's convinced that God is the supreme God, and he says, King Nebuchadnezzar, to all people, in other words, all of his subjects, the signs and wonders that the Most High God has worked for me, I am pleased to relate. And his conclusion, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, his dominion endures throughout the generations. Now, maybe, however, maybe this was just the preamble to a longer communication, because it does. He does continue to show another sign. He's talking about this other dream that he has in this chapter four. And Daniel is called in once again to interpret it. This time he tells him what the dream
Yeah.
was.
All right.
Why don't you take that, John?
So you left off where, and his dominion is from
Right,
chapter to
endures throughout the generations, right.
So I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts on my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore, I issued a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians and astrologers, the Chaldeans and the soothsayers came in, and I told them the dream, and they did not make known to me its interpretation. But at last Daniel came before me. His name is Belshazzar, according to the name of my God. In him is the spirit of the holy God. And I told the dream before him, saying, Belshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in you and no secret troubles you, explain to me the vision of my dream that I have seen and its interpretation. These were the visions of my head while on my bed. I was looking, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong. Its height reached to the heavens, and it could be seen to the ends of all the earth. Its leaves were lovely, its fruit abundant, and it was food for all. And and in it was food for all. The beast of the field found shade under it. The birds of the heavens dwelt in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head while on my bed, and there was a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, chop down the tree and cut off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the beast get out from under it and the birds from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, and the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beast on the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from that of a man, and let me give him the heart of a beast, and let seven times pass over him. This decision is by the decree of the watchers, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he will, and sets it over the lowest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now, you, Belshazzar, declare its interpretation, since all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation. But you are able, for the spirit of the holy God is in you. Should we comment on that or continue?
Yeah, we can stop. We can take a stop there. And there's a couple of things I'd point out. This image of the tree is used. It's used in a couple of places that I've noticed, especially this beast of the field and the birds dwelling in the branches. Jesus uses that in his parable, where he's referring to the kingdom of God. And Ezekiel uses it likewise. I think there may even be other instances, but I noted that there's one in, let's see if I can find it again. It's in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 17, I'm not sure. Let's see. Maybe not. No.
That's okay. I mean, I can continue.
Yeah, but you get the idea. I mean, it's a great king that this idea of the beast finding shade and the birds finding a place to roost in the tree is, that's indicates that it's some king or kingdom. And in this case, it's referring to Nebuchadnezzar.
Okay, I'll continue then.
And so it's very specific because it changes from the image of the tree to this personal pronoun in verse, I guess it's verse 12, leave the stump with its roots in the ground. And then it says, let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. So, you're talking about an individual now. Okay, take on 15.
Yeah. Okay, then verse 19, then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, Belshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. But Belshazzar answered and said, my lord, may the dream concern those who hate you, and its interpretation concern your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached to the heavens, which could not be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit, which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and in whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. For your greatness has grown and reaches to the heavens, and your dominion to the end of the earth. And inasmuch as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots it in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let him graze with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king. They shall drive you from men, your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make you eat grass like oxen. They shall wet you with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. And inasmuch as they gave the command to leave the stump and roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be assured to you after you come to know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my advice be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by being righteous and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. Perhaps there may be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and 7 times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." That very hour the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor returned to me. My counselors and nobles resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways are justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down.
It's interesting that this occurs after Nebuchadnezzar has written this letter to everyone in his kingdom, where he says how great God is and that his kingdom is everlasting and his dominion endures throughout the generations.
Mm-hmm.
But he still doesn't, he knows, but he doesn't really understand, I guess, is the best way to put it. Because he still thinks that it's his power, it's his greatness that made Babylon what it is.
Yeah, I think he says that in verse 30.
Yeah.
"Not this great Babylon that I have built by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty." I mean, I think that is what I think that's connected with the last verse.
Yep.
"Those who walk in pride, he is able to put down."
Yeah. Yeah. It's an amazing thing. I also like where it says, he gives, where's that? Where does it say that? Where's that verse where it says he gives it to the least? It's in verse earlier in the chapter. He gives it to whom he wishes, and he may set over it even the lowest of men.
Gives it to whoever he will, and sets it over the lowest of men.
Yeah. So it's not your greatness that results in that. It's.
I've often said that. I don't know if this is related, but wasn't I just saying a couple weeks ago that the money that people, your income basically, I think it's fate. Well, maybe that's not the right word, but it's God that determines that.
Yeah, it says that in the Bible.
Right. And so that excludes anyone saying, you know, "Oh, well, the reason why I'm making all this money is because I put in all this work and I went to school." And it's like, that's not true.
Yeah, but
And
NATO people will not believe that, even if that's.
people shouldn't beat themselves up if they don't make a lot of money, because again, that's also God's will. So
Believe it.
your income, however much or however little it is determined by God, and that is irrespective of anything you did to contribute or
Right.
not. I believe that.
I believe it too. And it doesn't mean that you don't do things. In other words, no one is saying that you didn't work hard or that you didn't go to school or you didn't whatever. But whatever you did was by the grace of God. That's the point. You didn't make yourself.
For his purposes, he determines who, how much people make and what they have.
I think there's ultimately that is true because he gives you the abilities, he gives you the opportunities.
Yeah.
You could just go on and on.
Yeah.
I don't see how you could say anything else.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. What's our time looking like, John?
Well, looks like we've got another good 20 minutes at least.
Okay. I'll read the net. We'll start on the next one. Now we're talking not about Nebuchadnezzar, but I believe it's his son, Belshazzar. Very similar to Daniel's name.
Actually, yeah. I thought that they were, oh,
As
Belshazzar.
Belshazzar as opposed to Belteshazzar.
So let's read Belshazzar. You want me to read
Yeah.
that? Or do you want?
I can
Okay.
read some more. Yeah, this notice that Nebuchadnezzar says that he had given Daniel the name Belteshazzar
After the name
after
of
the
his
name of
God.
my God. So he must have named his son likewise after the name of his God, whatever it's either Belshazzar or Belteshazzar, I don't know. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for his 1,000 nobles and in the presence of the 1,000, he drank wine. Now, Belshazzar's reign was not very long. This isn't specifically indicated but there's going to be a change in the government coming. And in the presence of 1,000, he drank wine. Under the influence of the wine, Belshazzar ordered the gold and silver vessels that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple at Jerusalem to be brought so that the king and his nobles, his consort, and his concubines could drink from them. The golden vessels that had been taken out of the sanctuary of the house of God in Jerusalem were then brought, and the king, his nobles, his consorts, and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Just then, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace opposite the lampstand, so that the king could see the hand as it wrote. The king's face darkened and his thoughts alarmed him. The joints of his loins were loosened and his knees knocked together. The king called loudly for the exorcists, Chaldeans, and diviners to be brought. The king addressed the wise men of Babylon. Whoever can read this writing and tell me its meaning shall be clothed in purple and wear a gold chain on his neck, and shall rule as one of three in the kingdom. Then all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known its meaning to the king. King Belshazzar grew exceedingly alarmed, and his face darkened, and his nobles were dismayed. Because of the state of the king and his nobles, the queen came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke up and said, O king, live forever. Let your thoughts not alarm you or your face darken. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In your father's time, illumination, understanding, and wisdom like that of the gods were to be found in him. And your father, King Nebuchadnezzar, appointed him chief of the magicians, exorcists, Chaldeans, and diviners. Seeing that there is to be found in Daniel, whom the king called Belteshazzar, extraordinary spirit, knowledge, and understanding to interpret dreams, to explain riddles, and solve problems. Let Daniel now be called to tell the meaning. of the writing. Daniel was then brought before the king. The king addressed Daniel. "You are Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom my father, the king, brought from Judah. I have heard about you that you have the spirit of the gods in you, and that illumination, knowledge, and extraordinary wisdom are to be found in you. Now the wise men and exorcists have been brought before me to read this writing, to make known its meaning to me, but they could not tell me what it meant. I have heard about you that you can give interpretations and solve problems. Now, if you can read the writing and make known its meaning to me, you shall be clothed in purple and wear a golden chain on your neck, and rule as one of three in the kingdom." Then Daniel said in reply to the king, "You may keep your gifts for yourself and give your presents to others, but I will read the writing for the king and make its meaning known to him. O king, the Most High God bestowed kingship, grandeur, glory, and majesty upon your father Nebuchadnezzar. And because of the grandeur that he bestowed upon him, all the peoples and nations of every language trembled in fear of him. He put to death whom he wished, and whom he wished he let live. He raised high whom he wished, and whom he wished he brought low. But when he grew haughty and willfully presumptuous, he was deposed from his royal throne, and his glory was removed from him. He was driven away from men, and his mind made like that of a beast, and his habitation was with wild asses. He was fed grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven, until he came to know that the Most High God is sovereign over the realm of man and sets over it whom he wishes. But you, Belshazzar, his son, did not humble yourself, although you knew all this. You exalted yourself against the Lord of heaven and had the vessels of his temple brought to you. You and your nobles, your consorts, and your concubines drank wine from them and praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see, hear, or understand. But the God who controls your life breath and every move you make, him you did not glorify. He therefore made the hand appear and caused the writing to be inscribed. This is the writing that is inscribed: Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And this is the meaning: Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians." Then at Belshazzar's command, they clothed Daniel in purple, placed the golden chain on his neck, and proclaimed that he should rule as one of three in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. I read verse 1 of chapter 6, I guess, also, but
no.
And not in your version, huh?
No, that's where you ended is where mine ends.
Yeah, okay. It sort of completes the thought, you know?
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, Carmen, this is where we get the expression, you know, "I see the writing on the wall."
On the wall, yeah.
From this. That's all the commentary I have. No, just kidding. But the other, what else do I want to say? I thought it was, when he's giving the interpretation, he says, "Mene, Mene." I don't know why he says that twice.
Well, whenever something is said twice, it means, like, it's, we say very much, it's intensifies, yeah. It means,
so God has numbered your kingdom and finished it is repeated twice.
Yeah, many, many. It means this number.
Okay,
it's definitely numbered. It's finished.
All right. Yeah. Oh, also, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. That's another expression.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the thing, though. Perez is not one of the words that was written on the wall.
Actually, it is. I'll tell you why.
Or however you say that.
In Hebrew and Chaldean, which is very similar, that the there's a root word that gives the meaning, and this is Perez. And you know where that word Perez occurs? It's in Genesis, another very important time. It's one of the sons that says in his day he was called Perez, and in his day the earth was divided. You know, I think it was, it's in, let me see if I can find this, in one of the very,
I do recall that.
I want to show you. It's, whose son was that?
Now I'm just getting a bunch of Paris Hilton stuff.
Not Paris. Not Paris.
No, there's the Perez.
There's, you know, Israeli prime minister called Perez. I think he was assassinated or something. It was several years back.
Oh, yeah, he's a son of Judah.
Judah.
Genesis 38.
Genesis 38. Okay. And what verse?
Right. 27 or 29 specifically. And he came, and it came to pass as he drew back his hand that behold, his brother came out. How have you broken forth? And his name was called Ophares, which they say is, never mind.
Oh, who's in it? Okay.
There is also in the book of Ruth, it lists a Perez as being a part of the ancestral genealogy of David.
All right. Now let me look in my concordance because I'm not finding. I want to see if, let me see if I can do it this way. Bring in my concordance. Just give me a second. Close this. Close this. And go here. Divided. Oh, it's Peleg, not Perez. Unto Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his day the earth was divided. But I want to see that because proper noun, Peleg, split, divide. Now, if I go to Perez, I don't know if they're related or what. Oh, I guess it's because it was spelled with a PH, Joseph's son. Is that the way?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It was it's Perez.
Yeah, I got to get it spelled or I'm not going to find it either, you know. Here. Anyway.
Oh, I see. You know what? My commentary says that up Harrison is the plural of Perez.
Yeah, well, the IM ending always is plural. And the prefix, there's just a word that's before it.
Oh, like cherubim.
Yeah.
Plural.
Anytime there's an IM ending, or that's plural in Hebrew, it's one of the designators. Let's see if I can find that Eupharson here. What verse was the Eupharson in?
25.
25. That's Perez. But he gives the interpretation.
I get it. It's fine.
No, I'm just trying. Yeah. Oh, here it is. I
it's the oral form of the word.
Yeah, it's just a different form.
Okay.
And yeah, I was just trying to see how that works. But interesting. So there's three. Here we have three stories. And in each one, they seem to have a similar conclusion, that the point being, God is ultimately in control of the kingdoms of the world. And Just like meeny meeny, when it's repeated more than once, it means it's just that's to really get our attention, to really make the point strong. I guess it's very easy to lose sight of that, particularly in a time of where there's hostility against the people of God. It's easy for us to lose sight, and I think that's one of the reasons these stories are here, so that we don't lose sight of that either.
Well, maybe we
Yeah.
should.
Well, I think, yeah, we should probably stop here at chapter six. We're because now we're getting into a new
A whole nother
order.
story,
Yeah.
yeah. Okay.
And we'll continue on next time. I'm going to stop the recording then.